Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Will Bunch, who is an award-winning senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, and he blogs at Attitude, that's ATTYTWOD.com. He is the author of Tear Down This Myth, The Right-Wing Distortion of the Reagan Legacy and The Backlash, Right-Wing Radicals, High-Def Hucksters, and Paranoid Politics in the Age of Obama. And he has an article at Philly.com, Senator Bob Casey Needs a Feck Transplant. Welcome to Background Briefing, Will Bunch.
Hi, Ian. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
And I take it you're suggesting that your Senator, Bob Casey, the Democrat, who along with, I think, six other Democrats, voted to torpedo the nomination of Debo Adegbole for the civil rights post in the Justice Department. He was also joined by, of course, the Republican senator. What's going on in Philadelphia? Is it the Fraternal Order of Police that leaned on these guys? And how did they make this argument, which is essentially a red herring? Because, you know, as far as we know, going back to John Adams in the American Revolution, a lawyer's job is to defend his client. That's sacrosanct. So you don't punish people for doing their job.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the reason I wrote the piece, you know, we seem to be hearing this word all the time, feckless, you know, that people say President Obama's foreign policy is feckless or whatever. And I couldn't think of anything more feckless than the vote by these Democrats to side with Republicans. I mean, quickly, there's two things going on here. One, you mentioned the big picture. You know, we have a cherished tradition in this country that every accused person, no matter how horrible the crime they're accused of, is entitled to a defense, and they're entitled to an appeal. Justice John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, defended an individual who was convicted of or handled the appeal of an individual convicted of, I think, seven or eight murders at one point in his career. Abraham Lincoln defended a murderer. You know, I think we're setting a very dangerous standard here if we're using that to disqualify highly qualified candidates for a job in the Justice Department. So that's number one. The other thing that you alluded to is the local politics. The case that's involved here is that Mr. Adegbole, when he was with the NAACP, got involved in the appeal of the death penalty for Mumia Abu-Jamal. It's a celebrated case here in Philadelphia, who about 30 years ago was convicted of murdering a Philadelphia police officer. And what's happened over the 30 years is because Mr. Abu-Jamal is he's very well-spoken, he's very photogenic, you know, he's written books from death row, and he's become this kind of international cause celeb, both with some elements of the American left, not all of it, and certainly a lot of left when people overseas have adopted his cause. And as a result, there's been kind of a backlash, and you have local elements here in Philadelphia, like the Fraternal Order of Police, the police union, which is very powerful politically, that basically has this kind of absolutism that, like, anybody who touches the Abu-Jamal case in any way trying to either, you know, help free Abu-Jamal from prison, which is unlikely to happen, or to get his death penalty overturned, which is what the NAACP worked on, is practically black, you know, all but like blacklisted at this point. And I mean, that's the kind of political pressure that was applied here. So, you know, we have a Democratic senator, Bob Casey, you know, was a very early and enthusiastic supporter of President Obama when he ran for president in 2008. Not the most liberal Democrat in the Senate by any means, but, you know, a fairly good vote on things. But he responded to this pressure from the FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police, and he came out last week and said he was going to oppose this nomination, and that seemed to turn the tide. That kind of gave the okay for other Democrats who were in more conservative, mostly white, red states, people like Joe Manchin from West Virginia, Senator Walsh from Montana. These type people sided. Even Chris Coons, who's a very liberal most of the time, Senator from Delaware sided with Senator Casey. And, you know, I was appalled that Senator Casey would go against this long tradition of, you know, not judging attorneys based on their clients. and do that in this case just because of the political pressure from the FOP.
And, of course, Will Bunch, Debo Adegbole, he, who was the former director and counsel of the NAACP's Legal Defense Fund, he inherited this appeal for Mumia Abu-Jamal. It wasn't exactly on his initiative, but the principle, of course, has been violated. But that's why I was talking to you, because I figured this, the roots of this shameful action on the part of the Senate seem to be in Pennsylvania.
Right. If you're from outside of Pennsylvania, I mean, the politics of this might be a little bit bewildering, but because it is a 30-year-old case, but the passions are so raw, it's almost like it happened last week. You know, I think over time, I mean, first you saw a movement on the left, you know, to free Mumia. I'm sure some of your listeners have heard that slogan before. In fact, I actually attended the Free Mumia protest in Los Angeles when I was there for the 2000 Democratic Convention. So this has been a cause on the left. What happened is, like I said, there's been a backlash, you know, certain conservative elements, and certainly any police and police union and people who are anxious to portray themselves as zealous protectors of law enforcement have made fighting the Free Mumia movement their cause, you know, and it's a very passionate thing after 30 years. I mean, you know, like most Philadelphians, I followed this case very closely. You know, I happen to think there's very little doubt that Abu-Jamal was the killer of police officer Danny Faulkner, and you know, I don't think he should be freed. And you know, a lot of liberal people in Philadelphia who actually know the facts of the case feel the same way. On the other hand, I mean, there's a whole separate issue here with the death penalty. I mean, just because you think that he's guilty of murder, you know, 40% of Americans oppose the death penalty. I mean, it's a pretty it may not be a majority yet, but it's a pretty strong group. And this is what the NAACP was fighting for in this case, to have the death penalty overturned. I think it is a totally valid argument that there was racial disparities in the way the jury was selected. As you know, the jury decides whether a person in a first-degree murder case gets the death penalty or gets life in prison. And this is what the NAACP and Mr. Adegbole were arguing, that that the death penalty in this case was unfair because of these racial disparities. They weren't saying that he was innocent, or they weren't saying that he did not murder this police officer. And yet, on that flimsy standard, we had a group of Democratic senators who chickened out, basically, in my opinion.
Again, I'm speaking with Will Bunch, who is an award-winning senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, and he blogs at attitude.com. He is the author of Tear Down This Myth, The Right-Wing Distortion of the Reagan Legacy, and The Backlash, Right-Wing Radicals, High-Def Hucksters, and Paranoid Politics in the Age of Obama. And he has an article at philly.com, Senator Bob Casey Needs a Feck Transplant. And I've actually done, you know, as a journalist, I've looked into that case and talked to various crime reporters in Philadelphia and people in lawyers, et cetera, people that followed that case, which, of course, it's associated with the MOVE cult that was bombed by the Philadelphia police in a botched siege, which turned into a conflagration where these people were burned alive along with their children. And it was a horrible situation. Mumia was apparently deeply involved with this group and identified very much with them. And when this happened, he apparently went off the deep end. And there's not much doubt in my mind that he did shoot Officer Faulkner. Just as a journalist, I've looked into it. And I've always been mystified why he's become a cause celeb. And almost all my colleagues at Pacifica think he walks on water. And it's just mystifying. And of course, the European left have taken up this cause. And
yeah, well, you know, there's a street, I believe there's a street in Paris named for Mumia Abu-Jamal. And it is a fascinating thing. And it you know, it seems like the more miles geographically apart you are from Philadelphia, the more likely you are to believe in his innocence and want to see him freed. You know, I think, look, a lot of people are horrified by the death penalty and by death row culture in America. And I understand that. I certainly am to a strong degree. And I think, unfortunately, like I said, I think because, you know, he's a former journalist who writes well and gives very good interviews. You know, he's a handsome man. He's somebody who looks like he should be, you know, a poster child for opposing the death penalty. Unfortunately, I mean, to me, it bothers me that his case distracts from so many other cases of people who are on death row who, in some cases, are certainly innocent. In other cases, are on death row despite either mental illness or they were, you know, kind of a low-level accomplice to a crime or that sort of thing. I mean, there's so much injustice with the way that the death penalty is administered in this country, and it doesn't seem right that Mumia Abu-Jamal is a poster person for so many people for that movement, because he was found wounded by the police officer's gun with the gun that was used to kill the police officer right next to him. His advocates have had 30 years to present an alternate scenario in which he wasn't the killer, and that hasn't happened. So I do think that's unfortunate. But the bottom line is, it's tragic to see somebody who is such a great candidate for the post of civil rights chief at the Justice Department, like Debo Agdebili was, to see that nomination shot down as it was for these reasons. I mean, it was completely unfair. This is a person who started life in poverty, experienced homelessness, a child of immigrants who worked his way through law school. It really was the American dream up until this point, you know.
Well, that is the real story. It's not a question of the guilt or innocence of Mumia Abu-Jamal, even though, as you point out, there are an awful lot of African-American men in particular, and boys, in prison in this country unjustly, and who the justice system has denied. They're being warehoused. There have been some very eloquent books written about it, and it's a national shame. But, you know, this is adding to that national shame. I mean, in other words, there's an awful lot of African-Americans in prison who we should be championing. And I wish that Abu-Jamal would eventually own up to it and stop taking advantage of all of these, well-meaning progressives around the world. But that's not likely to happen.
No, I don't think at this point.
But in terms of Debo Adegbole, that is so despicable what they've just done, and that even made more so by what you just told us about his extraordinary background. This is somebody that we should be celebrating, not scapegoating.
Right, and we're talking about the racial disparity of the death penalty. I mean, certainly there's concerns about, I think, the racial aspects of this vote in the Senate. Whether a white candidate for a high level position advocated for a white alleged murder would be treated in the same way. I mean, as we said, look at the case of Justice Roberts. His past advocacy for a convicted murderer was not an issue at all in his confirmation. So, I the whole thing, like you said, is very troubling.
Well, but I think Senator Tom Harkin put it, I think, accurately, in a way that really challenges the whole Republican Party and these feckless Democrats. Mm-hmm. He's saying that this would not have happened if Debo Adegbole had been a white man.
Right. You can't prove that, but you certainly have to wonder. The facts on the ground here are you have an African American advocating that an African American not get the death penalty, and you had Republicans standing with a united front against them, and you had these seven Democrats, who sold out President Obama and their party and crossed over and voted against them. And like I said, it's hard to prove a negative. I mean, you can't prove that race was the main factor, but I think you have to be concerned and you have to be troubled on that front.
So since this whole story really comes out of Philadelphia and out of Pennsylvania, and this shameful act of the U.S. Senate has its roots in the two senators from Pennsylvania, Bob Casey and Pat Toomey, the Republican, then what is the is there any sort of reckoning going on there? I mean, you mentioned that most people in Philadelphia accept the fact that Mumia Abu-Jamal is guilty, and that there's no point in trying to re-adjudicate that. It's the rest of the world that doesn't seem to have looked into the case very thoroughly. But in terms of the real issue here, which is this shameful act on the part of the Senate, what is the local sentiment?
I think the community has been very divided among the lines that you would expect. You know that conservative white suburbanites, think that the Mumia case is toxic, and that anybody who's touched it in any way that appears to be pro Mumia is like I said, blacklisted basically. And then obviously you have, you know, certain elements on the left, either on the farther fringes, people who think the Mumia should be freed, or at least other people, I think, kind of the more center left, who oppose the death penalty and certainly are not happy with Senator Casey's vote. I think one reason why this happened is I think that there probably wasn't much downside for Bob Casey politically to vote for this. After being elected to two terms, it's very unlikely that he's going to be challenged from his left. Plus, he's not up for re-election until 2018. And, you know, God only knows what the issues are going to be 4.5 years from now. But, frankly, given the fact that he doesn't have to face the voters for 4.5 years, I'm a little surprised that, he wouldn't help President Obama get this through, on the other hand, and not be so worried about what the Fraternal Order of Police thinks of him. But that's not the way he went in this case.
Well, Will Bunch, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Ian. I appreciate it. Anytime.
Again, I've been speaking with Will Bunch, who's an award-winning senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, and he blogs at Attitude, that's ATTYTOOD.com. He is the author of Tear Down This Myth, The Right-Wing Distortion of the Reagan Legacy, and The Backlash, Right-Wing Radicals, High-Def Hucksters, and Paranoid Politics in the Age of Obama. And he has an article at Philly.com, Senator Bob Casey Needs a Feck Transplant. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. We can also contact me, and I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Love.